Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country but throughout the world, but also to welcome to the program this week four exciting, talented, literate individuals who are all, with different humorous ways, going to show their capability with words, their verbal dexterity, as they try and speak on the subject that I give them, and they try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. And those four talented performers are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Sue Perkins, and seated on my left, Giles Brandreth and Lisa Tarbuck. Will you please welcome all four of them? Sarah Sharp, who's going to help me with the score and blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House, that edifice in the West One area of London. We have a lovely cosmopolitan, metropolitan audience in the audience, ready to cheer us on our way as we begin the show. Giles, we'd like you to start the show off. And the subject is, oh, a lovely one, my favourite Shakespeare play.
If music be the food of love, play on, give me excess of it, that surfeiting the appetite may sicken and so die. That strain again, it had a dying fall. This is the first line from Shakespeare's Twelfth Night, written in the early 1600s, and certainly my favourite play. I've essayed the role of Malvolio and that of Feste. We could cast the drama here, tonight, with you, perhaps, Nicholas, in the role, perhaps...
Sue Challis.
Role.
Yeah.
Double role.
Yeah,
to roll, yes. Yeah. What were you going to cast me as?
Well, Orsino, I think. Because Count Orsino, he is the romantic lead.
Oh, well, that's very
and,
natural.
And Sue was going to be Violet. It would be quite fun. And Toby Belch could
good.
Be
like
Paul. And I thought we could do... And you could be, darling, Lisa. You could be a lovely Mariah. And also Olivia.
Right.
You could have the double role.
We're on.
That's the, we're on, the
right.
idea.
And you're going to present this for us. Right, that's great. But Sue Perkins' challenge then, because of repetition of role, and so she has a point for that, and she has 36 seconds available to tell us something about my favourite Shakespeare play, starting now.
I'm a fan of Macbeth, the much maligned lady of that name. She comes a cropper due to a spot of blood on some washing, and she can't get it out. Come hell or high water, she's there all night long, scrubbing away. Because, of course, there's no detergent. He's off killing people. He's seen a ghost and gone absolutely stark staring mental. You would, wouldn't you? Fleance's flown. That's what fleances do.
Lisa challenged.
You would, wouldn't you?
You would, you wouldn't. Mm. Too many U's. Yeah. Let one go, but three or four,
yeah,
no.
She's right.
Lisa,
two
you
U's,
have...
Yeah. You Perkins.
There are 14 seconds for you, Lisa. On my favourite Shakespeare play, starting now.
Romeo and Juliet is possibly my favourite Shakespeare play. I was excited by the film directed by Franco Zeffirelli, in which he made this blank verse that I've been learning at school come off the page and onto the screen and set the whole thing actually...
So Lisa Tarbuck was talking then as the whistle went, and in this game, whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point, and it was Lisa, so she's now at the end of the first round, in the lead, away ahead of all the others. Sue Perkins, would you start the second round?
Yes.
Soho, another London subject. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Well, it's all flashing lights and young people, and I was part of that set way back when. Imagine the 80s, if you can. Some knickerbockers, a tank top... braces of the dental kind, and me traversing bohemian London looking like a right state. I often would wear a parka with a target on my back so people could aim their missiles more effectively at my spine, which they tended to, being as I was a spod. I loved the classics, to read great works of literature. I was no clothes horse. I weighed approximately 7 stone and was skittish at best, like a newborn foal, but without the capabilities of racing.
Giles, a challenge.
There is a certain erotic charge this description of Sue in the 1980s, but Soho really has not featured at all. We have just had a picture of a girl in the 1980s.
In Soho.
She could have been anywhere.
But I was in Soho, the bright lights, not remember, way back when, about 40 seconds ago.
You're giving a brilliant description of you at that particular time, but you didn't relate it very... closely to Soho, and you didn't talk about the area and so forth.
Did I not say I was the Duchess of Soho?
Definitely not. Right. No. So, Giles, correct challenge, of course, a point to you. 25 seconds, Soho, starting now.
I first got involved in Soho when I was a member of Lord Longford's pornography committee. I still have the raincoat that I bought at the time, though my wife has now sewn up the pockets. We paraded around Soho, the noble Earl and myself, dipping into dives to see topless people dancing with goats.
Poor challenge.
Topless people?
Yes.
Topless men. I mean, that's not pornography.
Can I say, I am gender neutral. I don't patronise a lap dancer just because she's a woman.
Giles, I actually am going to give you the benefit of the doubt again, because you can say topless people,
yeah,
and it could refer to girls or men. It doesn't really matter.
They were both.
It doesn't matter whether there were any one. It is still correct.
You were with us. You remember we went to that gay bar just off the Street.
And loose game, Giles. Also, can you dip into a dive?
Yeah. Can I tell you?
Really?
Yeah, it's like
Doesn't
a sherbet dip. It's fun. You just put it in. Come out. Oh, yeah.
Right, so, Giles, you have the benefit of the doubt, and you have Soho still, and 8 seconds starting now.
Go up Greek Street towards Soho Square, and you find the most wonderful Roman Catholic church, where the vicar is a sweet man who forgives the fallen.
So, Giles, again, speaking as a whistle wind, gain that extra point. You're now one ahead of Lisa Tarbuck, and you're three ahead of Paul Merton. Lisa, will you begin the next subject? I don't know how you're going to go with this one. Endorphins. Do you know anything about them?
I certainly do.
Oh, good. Will you talk about them? 60 seconds, starting now.
Endorphins are chemicals that rush up the spine and into the brain, although it's the spinal cord ones that we know about most, found accidentally whilst scientists in the 1970s were searching for drug information. They discovered that these liquids in our head and help me.
Poor lieutenant.
There was a sort of coming to a stop.
I did, yeah.
There was a coming to a little stop.
I was being stared at.
Were you?
Yeah.
It was in a loving
way. We were absolutely in trance.
It was absolutely right.
We were enraptured by what you were saying, actually.
I meant every word of it.
I know. Paul, you've got a correct challenge. You have 39 seconds. Tell us something about endorphins, starting now.
Well, they're beautiful creatures. Flipper was my favourite. You've got to bounce a beach ball on his nose, swim around the sea of bottlenose variety, and people would say, where's he heading for? And then they would surge across the oceans, and he would lead them...
Giles' challenge.
This is very droll, but it's a slight on your diction. It's an insult to you. You're famous for your diction. You're only here, I know, because you knew Lord Reith personally.
You took him to the lessons, didn't you?
When he appointed you and Alvar Liddell, at the end of the late hostilities, he said, Nicholas, I like you because you seem to have your own teeth. And you did say endorphins very, very clearly. And he is talking about any old dolphins. Flipper and the like.
Yes, but when they enjoy themselves, they've got endorphins in their brain.
Mm. No.
Not so.
No.
When dolphins are released up your spine into your brain, I tell you what. That's what it was.
That's higher than you can get.
The endorphin is actually, not wishing to be pedantic, but endorphins are released.
You will be.
Giles, you're going to have the subject in a moment. I'd save it if I were you.
Right.
I mean, I must inform my listeners, I didn't actually personally know Lord Reith. I didn't. And I didn't get the job because of him. I have been here quite a long time.
And they're not your own teeth.
Even worse than he's road testing Anne Widdicombe's tonight.
There's a Labrador outside, looks a bit gummy.
I think Lisa deserves a bonus point for that insult she did against me. And endorphins, because, yes, you did... I think I said it quite clearly, Paul, endorphins and not dolphins.
Yeah, how dare you?
So, Giles, you have the subject. You have 29 seconds. Endorphins are starting now.
Endogenous morphine naturally produced from the pituitary gland is what we now call endorphins, discovered in 1975 by two remarkable men in the United States of America and a Japanese who is still claiming rights in this particular issue. When you actually produce this in yourself, the effect is startling. All over the body, not just up the spine, but I can tell you around the knee.
You challenged Sue.
Yes, it was repetition of produce, but also I got to the stage where I was panicking when he was talking about producing the endorphins himself. I thought, where are we going? I must stop this.
Yeah. So, your repetition of produce, that was your first chance. Yeah. Yes, you did have two produced, but we let you go because we couldn't believe it. 8 seconds, Sue, for you to tell us something about endorphins starting now.
A tidal wave of chemicals surge through your brain, the like of which has not been seen since Giles Brandreth personally saw to it himself.
So, Giles Brandreth is still in the lead. Sue Perkins got one for Speaking as a Whistle. Wench come up in second place alongside Lisa Tarbuck. And Paul, for once, is trailing in fourth place. But, Paul, will you begin the next round? The subject now is the American Dream. 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Well, the American dream is looking pretty good at the moment, I suppose. As the new year begins, 2009, there's a newish American president. Well, in fact, he's brand new, but I said that before, so I don't want to repeat.
Charles, challenge.
Repetition of new.
Yes, yeah. You had the new. He tried to get out of it by saying newish, and he... I know it's sad, but that's the rules of the game. 50 seconds available, Giles, on the American dream starting now.
All of us apparently dream in American because we watch so much television, and the accent is the one that we hear constantly. And consequently, the American dream is all our sleep time for out.
Sue, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yep.
Yep. Mm. Yep. Right. So, Sue, you have another point. You have 39 seconds. The American dream starting now.
I have a dream, the most important phrase ever uttered by a campaigner in American history. And finally, we see the realization, the bow drawn across the arc of history and fired into the future by a man upon our very hopes rest. He's the most important...
Paul, challenge.
Can a bow be drawn across the arc of history?
He said it could, and I believed him.
Oh, if you want to be poetic, and she was going into poetic language, yes. I thought, and so she created an image in my mind, which I accepted. All right.
Okay. Yes. Yes. As,
and so we.
Well, that's divided them. Yeah. Didn't call me for poetry.
Once he's created an image in his mind, there's no point in fighting. Yeah. He just once he gets the image, he can't shift it.
I try to be fair with the rules just a minute, and I give the benefit of the doubt to Sue, and you know that I will always redress that balance if I get an opportunity later, Paul. So, Sue, you continue after you've gained another point. 25 seconds, the American dream starting now.
The Great Gatsby is a book written about the American dream, where the eponymous hero Jay sets off on a mission to exhaust his own limitless potential. He's aided by his love object. It's a long time since I read it. In fact, I did it for O-level, so whilst I made a big play of it at the beginning, I can scarce remember the plot now and it's trailing away. The 20s were a roaring success, and much of it was to do with the accumulation of wealth by a small select...
So Sue Perkins has gone ahead. She's in the lead now, having gained that extra point for Speaking as a Whistle Wench. She's one ahead of Giles Brandreth. She's three ahead of Lisa Tarbuck and one or two more, Paul Merton. And Giles, we'd like you to start the next round. I'm a bit nervous of the subject. I don't know why they put it in. It says, if Nicholas was a superhero. I don't know what you'll do with it, but you have the opportunity. 60 seconds starting now.
If Nicholas was a superhero is a misnomer. He is a superhero. The personification of glory in our eyes. Look at the physique, the silver hair, the proud brow, that powerful nose, teeth that fit, the hearing aids so discreetly hidden, then a chin, in fact several, they're so beautiful, shoulders that are powerful, underpants you can actually see them rising above his trousers, the natural garb of the true superhero.
I panicked, I thought... This has got to stop here.
Yeah. I know, it has got to stop.
But it can't.
It's deviation.
Of course, because I haven't got those underpants on.
No.
You've got the lime green banana hammock on.
No, he's gone commando.
Yeah, now we absolutely.
And
I've got...
And you can have him for the teeth. I've got my own teeth. I haven't got a hearing aid in. You can have him on any number of deviations.
Indeed.
There. But it was very great. It was tremendous fun.
I was just getting down to your body.
That's why I panicked.
Yeah.
I don't think you should bring so much of your personal life into this, Giles. Right. Paul, you have 34 seconds. Tell us something about the subject, if Nicholas was a superhero, starting now.
If Nicholas was a superhero, I see him as Captain Suave with a bulletproof cravat, walking into situations, desperately fighting people, and then saying to them, oh, really, you must come to tea. And then just being so elegant as he fights off the supervillains of the world. Octopus Man coming towards him with eight arms. And Nicholas would gently say, oh, I really just don't think those cufflinks go with those sleeves. Mm. And would immediately point out that this huge person was actually not fit to save the planet. But here, Nicholas can grab us all in his arms and say, I am Captain Suave, and I believe in truth, justice, and the BBC.
So Paul Merton was then speaking as a whistle when gained that extra point for doing so. Worked bloody hard to get it, didn't I? Sue, it's your turn to begin.
Yeah.
And the subject we've got now is cracking the whip. Tell us something about that subject. Oh, I did. It is getting a bit sort of naughty, this programme, isn't it? Cracking the whip. 60 seconds starting now.
Cracking the whip is used by two professions, lion tamers and dominatrix. Make sure you get them the right way round, otherwise you'll have lions in an office block and I can't remember. Started well, but there's so much of what I do, just piece it out into a thin, meaningless...
So, Paul, you challenged
first. There was a bit of a hesitation.
There was a bit of a hesitation. Cracking the whip is with you now, 49 seconds starting now.
If we look at the case of Max Mosley, there's a man who was strapped for cash. And I think that cracking the whip is one of those things in life where you suddenly realise I've got to improve my status. I've got to change things. Perhaps seek out new horizons. I don't need to Star Trek. Seek out new horizons.
You've been very dramatic on this show.
I am, yes. Yes, I'll take it down.
Absolutely carried on. Dolphins and...
And cravats.
Cravats and so forth.
And wild, wild women. That song.
Yeah,
Dolphins and cravats.
Sue, you challenge first.
Hesitation. Yeah.
Yes, right. 35 seconds. Cracking the whip. Back with you, Sue. Starting now.
It's important to crack things on, to get things going apace when the tempo is sagging.
Paul challenge.
A repetition of things.
Yes, you had too many things there, right? 31 seconds now with you, Paul. Cracking the whip. Starting now.
When I was in charge of a poodle act, it was very important to make each one of those dogs realise their initial responsibilities to the routine. For example, Barry, he was a keen cyclist, one of the finest little French dogs you could see, and he would get up on that bike, hold his head proud, wearing a cravat, funnily enough.
Charles, you challenge.
Repetition of cravat, but maybe that was some years ago.
Talking about cravats
yes,
before.
Yes, he was.
Paul, an incorrect challenge. Cracking the whip, still with you. 13 seconds, starting now.
It's all about discipline. If you look at the panellists on this show, each one of them has succeeded in their own chosen profession. Nicholas, he sits amongst us like a giant, but he cracks the whip. If somebody hesitates...
So, Paul Merton, who's been training a little, was not only speaking then as a whistle wind, getting that extra point, but others in the round, he's now equal in the lead with Sue Perkins. But they're only just ahead of Giles Brandreth and only just further ahead of Lisa Tarbuck. And Lisa, you're going to begin the next round because your name's here on the card in front of me. And the subject, I think you know something about this, vegetarianism. Right, tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
Abstaining from eating flesh for ethical or nutritional reasons is one way of explaining vegetarianism. I can't go into what the other one is. Safe to say, I was a vegetarian. Blast it!
That's just...
Hesitation.
Was it
yes.
You?
And it was so interesting, too.
You are
why didn't
you
know it was challenge. Interesting?
Yes. So, Giles, you challenge. You have 50 seconds. Tell us something about vegetarianism starting now.
The first time he met me, Barack Obama sensed that name-dropping was one of my weaknesses. Interestingly, his wife, Michelle, has the same name.
Lisa, challenge.
There was a bit more of an arc than you normally do before you said Michelle, so I'm going to say hesitation.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
All right, fair enough.
I want to hear more about
you. You've backed right off, haven't you?
Because I think maybe if I'm a bit cool, I'll get a bit further.
Mm. You know. Could I ask if you two could stop playing the game to each other? Because I can't always see your faces there.
We're sitting knee to knee.
42 seconds available for you, Lisa. You've taken back vegetarianism. Start now.
Pythagoras was a vegetarian, as was Plato. And if you want to avoid anemia, it's probably quite good to load up on B12, although it's not necessarily the right thing to do because it might cause other problems. For 11 years, I did not eat meat. And for the same period of time, every time I went home to Tarby Towers,
it was just getting good. There was a slight hesitation, but I'm annoyed because I'm really involved in the story, more so than by rights I should be.
Do you know, we are playing a game, though, aren't we? And we ought to adhere to that. But somebody...
No, I don't think you did hesitate.
No.
I don't think you hesitated enough to be... give it penalised.
I nearly did.
No, you nearly did, yes. I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Oh, I've lost my flow.
And, well, darling, I'm saying you'll soon get it back again. Take a deep breath. This audience will inspire you. Give her her flow back, please, audience.
Oh, heaven.
23 seconds, vegetarianism, Lisa, starting now.
Big Jim would often say to me, in fact, every single time we sat down to dinner, if you're hungry, there's a whole grass out there. Oh! Murdered Charles, it. Don't yes. give me another chance.
Giles, you're challenged.
Hesitation.
That was a hesitation.
I murdered the gag.
16 seconds. Vegetarianism is with you, Giles, starting now.
Beetroot, carrot, endive, the whole range of the vegetarian diet is something that I find extraordinary to look at, to cook, to taste, the sumptuous delicacy.
Paul, challenge.
Quite a few lots of twos to cook, to taste.
Took, yes, to taste, to two, to
chance
two, to two,
to dream.
Two. Yes. So, a tough challenge, but it's
what vegetarian
correct. 4 seconds are still available for vegetarianism with you, Paul, starting now.
When I look at the broad bean, I realise it represents everything I want in life.
So, we now have a very close situation. Paul, now with that extra point, has taken the lead. He's only two ahead of Giles Brandreth and Sue Perkins, equal in second place, and they're only two ahead of Lisa Tarbuck in fourth place. So, we're neck and neck, and Paul, your turn to begin. And the subject now is chemistry. Can you tell us something about that in this game, starting now?
Well, the short answer is no. I did O-level chemistry. I sat there for 3.5 hours, wrote the same sentence, lime water turns milky, and fell asleep. That is the sum total of my knowledge of chemistry. Over to somebody else.
A very generous gesture. Lisa, you got in first.
It was the only time I have been able to get in.
Yeah.
My thumbs haven't been quick enough.
No, you've been
well
very good. You're well in there, my love, with all the others. You've got chemistry. I don't say, you have chemistry. You have your own natural chemistry. But the subject...
I don't know what's going on here tonight, I swear.
It's just to build up your morale, darling, so that you'll flow again, as you said before.
It's called grooming.
Chemistry is the subject, Lisa... 49 seconds, starting now.
Getting metal out of stones was something that thrilled people of yesteryear, and it was then called alchemy, but moved into a chemistry session later on. To turn something from...
Giles challenge.
Felt there was hesitation.
There was hesitation, I'm afraid. Lisa,
settling into it. Yes.
Yeah. It's going to become clear that no one knows anything about chemistry.
Yeah.
I was honest, you see.
I don't
know enough.
Chemistry is with you, Giles, now, and there are 38 seconds starting now.
In chemistry at school, I sat next to a girl called Diana, and one day, abruptly, she left the class because she thought the teacher had said, "Come on, Di, outside." In fact, he was referring to carbon dioxide. Her interest in the subject was as lean as mine, but we did enjoy experimenting with the Bunsen burner. Oh, she managed to roast some of my finest...
A wobbling she there,
yeah.
As you clutch for the next word... Which I appreciate and like, but I'm playing the game.
So, you had the benefit of the doubt, you had the subject, you have chemistry's back with you, 18 seconds, starting now.
I like chemistry a lot, and used to do it at school, obviously. We used to turn...
Sue, challenge.
I have thought a bit of hesitation.
There was a bit of hesitation, yes. So, Sue, you have chemistry, 12 seconds, starting now.
Once a woman showed me a beaker, shoved it in a fume cupboard and said, "How about that?" I didn't know what was going on. Copper sulfate was involved in iron filings. This huge black tower of smoke arose from said container.
Fine, so Sue Perkins, speaking as a whistle, Wayne gained that extra point. So let me give you the situation if you go into the final round. Lisa Tarbuck is only trailing just a little in fourth place. She's only one behind Giles Brandreth in second place, because out in the lead equal are Sue Perkins and Paul Merton. It's anybody's contest or game if you're interested in the points, but I always think the fun's more important. Giles, it's your turn to begin, and the subject now is something money can't buy. Would you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Thinking back to what Paul was saying about going to one of Max Mosley's parties, that's where he and I originally met. And looking around the room, I thought, of course, it's judgment that money can't buy. It was there that my friend explained to me the difference between the erotic and the perverse. With the former, of course, you use your feather gently and lightly. With the latter, you use the entire chicken. Now, this discovery...
Sue, you're jealous.
Hesitation.
Jealous? Actually, I don't think he was hesitating, but... I was an incorrect challenge, so you have another point. Something money can't buy, starting now.
Style. Watch. You've got, Nicholas, in Ooh. Spades. Elegance, allure, panache, Ooh. And indeed cravats that are not just bulletproof, but could be worn by dolphins. They are certain.
I agree with that.
I agree with absolutely everything, but I do think you can buy style because now people do it for a job.
Oh, not
stylists.
Oh, wow.
Lisa, what is your challenge, darling? Tell me, because I can make
the
decision.
He's saying that you can't buy a style. I think you can.
You can buy a style,
so it's
yes.
deviation. Mm.
Oh, in that sense, a very subtle challenge, yes, but I think I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
Thank you, my darling.
Why don't you go for deviation on dolphins wearing cravats? I mean, that's...
Dolphins, you say?
She said dolphins with cravats.
They can't abide a cravat. Everyone knows
get
that.
Get the man.
Okay. A waistcoat's fine, but not...
Right. You have the benefit of the doubt, Lisa. You have something money can't buy. 23 seconds starting now.
I think the main thing that money can't buy is time, followed by love... possibly happiness, and definitely peace of mind. You can go through life wanting all of these things and amassing a great fortune, but...
Lisa, Giles' challenge again.
If you can't buy style, what are you doing when you get a watch but buying time?
I don't I remember asking Mr. Smartass to tea.
No, it's all right, Giles.
I didn't mention
Paul
a
has given you your answer.
Sorry, my lord.
No, Paul has given the answer.
It's a good answer. It's a good
very
answer.
Very good answer, yes. So Lisa has still got the subject. Something money can't buy. 11 seconds starting now.
Money can't buy this moment for me sitting next to Giles Brandreth discussing the ins and outs of his intricate and interesting crocheted mind.
So Lisa Tarbuck, who was speaking then as a whistle-wing, gained that extra point for doing so, and with others in the round, she complained last time she was with us that she never wins. But I can tell you now, this is a very interesting result, actually, because Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, and Giles Brandreth are all equal in second place. With that flourish about style or something that money can't buy, she forged ahead. And 1 point ahead of them is our winner this week, Lisa Tarbuck. So, it only remains for me to say thank you to these four fine players of the game, Paul Merton, Sue Perkins, Lisa Tarbuck, and Giles Brandreth. I also thank Sarah Sharp, who's kept the score for me so carefully and blown her whistle very delicately. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. We're grateful to our producer, Claire Jones, for all that she puts into the show. And we're grateful to this lovely audience here in the radio theatre. Thank you for cheering us on our way. Tune in the next time we play Just a Minute. Bye-bye.